welcome to Check It Out, Comrade, an indie game podcast where every 2 weeks we bring you two indie games and tell you what we like about them. I'm Nick Wobber.
And I'm Gary Butterfield.
And this week we're doing Bad Rat Show and Westerado Double Barreled.
Indeed. As Duckfeed Network continues to present Bad Rats. The best possible light.
Yeah.
We're not gonna give up on you, Bad Rats. I gave up on Bad Rats.
Yeah, I gave up on Bad Rats too.
And Bad Rats 1. I mean, you didn't give up on Bad Rats 1.
I didn't give up on Bad Rats 1.
You're Rat King.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
What do they call you guys?
Bad Rats King. Yeah, that's the achievement that you get for completing everything in Bad Rats 1. I think getting all other achievements is essentially the achievement. And then there's a essay Steam group that is called Bad Rats Goons that has two rules. Must be a Bad Rat King. Must be a goon. And you can get into that group.
It's exclusive club.
Yeah, exclusive club.
And because this Bad Rats show is like the danger of irony.
Yes.
You know, like it is nothing about... So Bad Rats 1, like I've got a little bit of affection for Bad Rats 1.
Me too.
Like I kind of have fun playing it. It is, it's bad. It is a non-deterministic physics puzzler,
which is the worst thing you could possibly do.
That's such a silly idea. It's racist and gross.
Yep.
And it's like unsavory and just kind of like gross looking and bad and everything, but you know, I had some affection for it. But this game, like everyone gave it really positive reviews. Not everyone, like the press, I mean everyone, all the user reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody formed their lot of clubs and stuff and lots of identity and memeing about it, enough so that it made sense for the guys who made this to make another one,
right?
And they did, and it probably has done really well. You know, these guys, Invent for Intratenimiento, which is entertainment in some language. I don't know.
I think they're Mexican.
Okay, it's hard to tell. It definitely has that feeling of something that is non-Western.
Yeah, I think they're Mexico or South American country somewhere. Yeah.
Which is not why it's bad.
No.
But yeah, tell me the basics about Bad Rats Show.
Sure. So, as we said, Bad Rats Show is the follow-up to Bad Rats from Invent 4. It is PC only and was released on July 20th, 2016. After a couple trailers hyping it up and it finally came out. But the basic mechanics of the game is it's essentially an Incredible Machine clone. You have a cat who is wired up to some explosives and a ball or other such object as your starting. I think it's always a ball, actually.
Mm-hmm.
As your starting object. And your point is to place these rats that will interact with the ball, as well as some inanimate objects, on the map to guide the ball to the button to blow up the cat.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the whole basis of it. That was essentially the same basis of the first one, only this time there's a little theming about it being kind of this big public display for the rest of the
rats. Tell us a little bit about the plot, Nick.
The plot is that you're blowing up cats in front of other rats. Like, I don't think, is there anything further than that?
No, I mean, there might be. I didn't get very far.
No.
You're in a really weird variety of environments.
Yeah.
Doing these, it's like, it has this kind of like gross night rally kind of feel to it. Like these rats have gotten together to kind of like, I don't know, do some night, you know, nighttime activities.
Yeah, it's like the stage is sometimes just like made out of bones and stuff.
Like, yeah, it's real, like, Thunderdome-y.
Yeah. like this is some ritualistic endeavor that they are killing this cat for.
And we're introduced to this this ringmaster character. Was he in the first one?
I don't believe so.
None of this stuff was there. This ringmaster and the soundtrack of this band playing this Bad Rat song that is just like pretty incredible. It's a song. It's real special. And this ringmaster who kind of guides you through some really the joy that I took out of Bad Rat Show was in this guy's kind of delivery, and it's his accent. And I don't want to feel like I'm making fun of somebody just for having a foreign accent. But it's very funny, like when you have to start over and it's like, let's edit it.
Yeah.
Like, I love that, like the delivery or something. Maybe a cube will help.
Yeah.
It's like really like Itchy and Scratchy's West or Russian counterpart. Like,
yeah.
Worker and Parasite.
It definitely feels like something being made for what they know is going to be mostly an English audience, but by someone who isn't, you know, it's not their first language.
Yeah. And just, it's not like it's not well acted or anything like that,
right?
Either. Like, it's, you know, just somebody who cannot speak the language very well attempting to do this. And it's more of the same, really.
But worse.
But somehow worse. And yeah. I think the reason why it's worse, or at least in my mind, I didn't get very far in it, but is there tons of rats attract the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And what that ends up doing is it just attracts it to them. It's really hard to use that as an instigating force and right. escape that kind of gravity that they have. So very early on, they introduced this yoga rat who's kind of an offensive, the love guru type character.
Uh-huh.
And whenever I use him, the ball just goes to him and sticks there. It sucks.
Yeah. It seems like most of the rats in the first game, if I can remember correctly, were just kind of moving the ball in like a set direction. Like, you know, this guy is going to pull it in a straight line towards him, and this guy is going to rocket at it or hit it with a bat in this general direction. And this time they're trying to mix it up with like a whole bunch of different angles. The, like mm-hmm. you said, the Swami one, who's like used right from the beginning, does it in this big arc around him. And if it gets too close, it just goes to him. Mm-hmm. The gun one, who's right off the bat as well, will just shoot the ball wherever he sees it, flinging it right back in the direction that it's coming at him from. So yeah. You kind of need to like block off his vision to do anything reasonable with him.
And it just becomes very trial and error.
Yeah.
Like, and that's Bad Rats always had an element of trial and error to it. It's not like a very good puzzle game, but this is way worse.
Yeah. And I think that another like big problem with this one is that for some reason you have to go to a menu screen to pull out any of your rats or items.
Yeah.
Instead of it just being on a shelf where you can put at the bottom of the screen where you can pull them up easily.
Oh, the UI is a nightmare. Every time I try to rotate the rats, God help you if you ever get a rat that is overlapping with another rat.
Yeah.
Because you will just, every time you try to rotate or manipulate one, you will just select the other one.
I got a rat stuck in a position like midway between the shelf and the screen that I could place him on, and was then unusable, and I couldn't place him anywhere else.
Yeah, he's in the foreground because for some reason it is a 3D game.
Right.
And does not benefit at all other than the fact that it's, I guess, easier to do this in Unity.
Right.
Than it would be to do in Game Maker.
Yeah, I guess so. Like the physics operations, I guess. But obviously it was done a lot better with the Incredible Machine games, which were all 2D. So I don't know where this is. It might just be the level editor or, you know, levels that you can get from the workshop, which another thing, this game just added a lot of stuff on top of a bad game.
Yeah.
All of it making it worse. But they added workshop support so you can make your own levels and put them on the workshop. And in their demo video, there's like an actual 3D level, like where the ball is moving in 3D, which already the rats, you can't get them to actually do the shit you want them to do. And it does a different thing every time you press play.
Yes, yeah, so like a 3D Incredible Machine is beyond our being a game, right?
Because it's beyond human comprehension. Yeah,
like it is like the moon landing was in the 40s. Like it is it's, you could do it, but it would just be so frustrating. I can't imagine a version that is good.
Well, at the very least, it would need to have physics that responded the same way every time.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have
there's all kinds of chaos theory in this.
Yeah. If you don't have any determinism, then like how do you iterate upon a puzzle to find out the solvable solution that you're trying to create? Like if you're making a map, how is he even creating these besides just like throwing a map together and going, I'm sure I can make this work somehow. And then playing with it for 3 hours until he finds a solution, then calls that the official one.
Yeah. And then they'll play a little video of that, of the official solution. But the joy of these kind of puzzle games or the Incredible Machine is not just finding the proper combination of machines and layouts. It's like making your own that also work.
Right.
It's very similar to like a lot of the puzzle games we've done on the show that I like, where like it's about efficiency rather than just making the thing happen. Like you can do it's barely a puzzle game, but I really love the Scribblenauts games. Mm-hmm. Because you can just get the star really easily. Like, just give yourself a jetpack, you'll always get it. But the fun part is doing it in real weird ways with a lot of, like, seeing all these things interact.
Right.
You know, what if I, instead of doing that, like, I scared the lumberjack into coming over and he cut down the tree? And what do I scare him with? And all these things. Like, you get this kind of freedom. These games, when they work, that's what they're about. Mm-hmm. And Bad Rats just makes the process of finding that so frustrating because, one, it takes 1,000 tries. Two, the actual tools in your box don't make any sense,
mm-hmm.
And are gross and kind of offensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there's two of them, the Yogi one and the Pope one, both just attract the ball. But one of them does it with like a force field and the other one does it with a tractor beam. Like, it's very, very weird.
Yeah, it says that the Pope Rat pushes it away. So I think they're basically the same mechanic, just one repels the ball and the other attracts it to him.
The Pope one definitely doesn't push it away.
Really?
Like, he definitely pulls it towards him.
That's funny. Their sight's own description is wrong.
It would just shoot it away from, like, it would never enter his sphere. He'd be essentially the same thing as, like, a object.
Right.
One of the bad rat sticks. or the puzzling cube.
Yeah.
That you get. But it just does not work. And it kind of bums me out, because it's not like I wanted good things for this franchise, but I had this moment of sympathy for these guys who made this game, where it's like, you know, you made a really bad game that is just ridiculous enough that, like, you had your 15 minutes of fame.
Right.
And made probably a good amount of money from it. Like, either, like, learn how to make a proper game, you know, like, go on and get good at making games, or just, like, call it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't you.
Or, I mean, even if they wanted to cash in, they really could have just not changed as much as they did. Because they've made it less functional is my main issue with it. It's like, we knew we were getting into a bad game. We played this game because it's, one of the few great highlights of so bad it's good in the games industry, which is not something you usually see. But they just made it less usable and less functional and less fun to play. Whereas last time, like, as shitty as it was when the physics just fucked up on you, like, most of the time you're having a laugh the whole time.
Bad Rats 1 is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Against all odds.
It's Bad swallowable, at least. This is just
exactly.
not.
Exactly. Yeah, just does not work. Yeah.
All right. We could go into all the rats and stuff, but, you know, like, I think we've had enough bashing of the game as it is. So
now it's not very good. I mean, however, Bad Rats will be 20 cents at some point. Buy the first one and play it.
Yeah.
Instead of an abject suffering, I'll say it again. Like, it is, it's worth, I think it's worth a look. Bad Rats show, safe to avoid.
It is worth what you find in your couch. Yeah.
Yes. Let's move on to greener pastures.
Yeah, let's do it.
Like, oranger and yellower.
All right.
Pastures.
Can do. Westerado Double Barreled. I do believe this was actually recommended at one point, but I've forgotten who recommended it.
It was a long time ago. This has been on our list to do for a very long time.
So we apologize whoever originally got this on our radar, but we have finally gotten around to playing it, and it's really good. It came out, it is by a developer named Ostrich Banditos, but published by Adult Swim Games, who have been doing, you know, great publishing of indie games for a little while now. And it was released April 26th of 2015, and I believe it's PC only. So
April 16th, I think.
Not that matters. April 16th. Sorry.
Yeah. It doesn't. I mean, I don't think it matters that much. Just in case somebody was going to email us.
Right.
And this was like a lot of Adult Swim games, was a flash game on their website. Mm-hmm. And I love how they have that as kind of a proving ground.
Yeah.
You know, like, the stuff that's really popular seems deep enough actually comes out here. I'm looking at, like, on the Steam page for it, at the Adult Swim games bundle.
Mm-hmm.
Where you get all of the games, and there's a lot of good games in there.
Yeah,
like, this is, you know, they do really great work.
Yeah, they've been doing quality stuff. They're like they're kind of the budget Devolver.
Devolver.
Yeah,
it's kind of like almost Devolver.
Yeah.
I would go along with that. And they've done a lot of, we've done a lot of stuff by them.
Yeah,
or like Volgar and Jazz Punk, Superhouse of Dead Ninja.
True.
But this is kind of a new thing, and I really like this game. However, I did not expect it to be as slight as it is. I like that it's this short.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an element of replay to it, but I played it in an afternoon and, like, feel like I had my time with it.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I did it. And it was 2.5 hours maybe.
Yeah, I might have put a little bit more than that into it. It feels like there is, like, kind of more, like, more side stuff you can get wrapped into as you search around and as you please. Like, I didn't do all of the bounties that the sheriff gives you. Mm-hmm. I know there was a couple side trail missions. I think there's, like, a few veins.
There's a few endings.
That if you follow along, they're kind of quest veins that they all lead to you getting the ending, but they also, you know, do something, a different path along the way. Or perhaps even a different ending. I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, the game actually ended for me kind of earlier than I expected. I kind of got what I expected to be the final clues, mm-hmm. but wasn't purposely on the hunt. And then all of a sudden, like, I was trying to chase down my first of the sheriff bounties, and I think accidentally spooked the actual criminal.
Oh, sure.
And and then the whole chase sequence happened. So it actually happened for me by accident. But I mean, I had plenty of fun up to that point anyway. So, and the ending itself is fun.
So this is like a an open world gunslinging game mixed with Clue.
Yeah, and most of the mechanics are kind of like adventure-y, like point and click adventure, but it has this actual arcade-y shootout mechanic to it as well.
Mm-hmm. And, so in it you play, you know, a cowboy whose ranch gets burned down and your family gets killed.
Yes.
So all you know about the person, you get one clue of the person, and it's going to be like a article of clothing and a color of that article of clothing. Mm-hmm. And your job is to go into this kind of Western world to talk to people, do things for them, so they'll give you additional clues so you can narrow down the person
right.
who killed your family and hunt them down. And those side quests, like it's very like RPG, like mm-hmm. it's you know, go convince, you know, a few people to do this, go hunt down this person. Go talk to this person, go deliver this thing. They're like RPG side quests.
Right.
But that's the game. Like that's how you spend most of the game.
Right.
It's just this, it's like the side quest of another game. The main quest doesn't really happen until you learn enough about the killer
right.
to actually confront them. Like it's like a role-playing game that's all side quests in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yep. And those multiple veins I was talking about are, kind of different quest lines that you can go about, because there's kind of this war going on between these farmers and this oil baron that's in town.
And a war between Indians and Union soldiers.
Oh, yeah, and the Indians and Union. I actually didn't get into any of the Indian vein before the ending came up on me. Mm. So I knew that was all there, but didn't actually explore any of that. So, yeah, there is, like, this reason to play multiple times. But the conflict between the oil baron and the farmers that I had, you could kind of side with him and he wants you to round them all up, or side with the farmers who are trying to make a coalition and take him down.
Mm-hmm. So you can kind of you can also side with the oil baron. Like there's kind of a sort of a morality system.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Thing going on. And you can also, you know, just slaughter the Indians or just slaughter the Union soldiers, or you can kind of broker a peace.
Oh, nice.
Between them. There's kind of different ways that can work out. It's also in like the best open world games, no one is plot immune to bullets. So like what happened with me is I was working with the oil baron and I found out he was, you know, doing all this stuff
mm-hmm.
and he was a real jerk. So I just killed him and stormed his kind of castle and,
right.
and killed everybody.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, you can still do the quest, but then you just show up and you're like, yeah, he's not a problem for us anymore.
Right.
And it cuts off those quests, but nobody is immune. And that's actually killing a lot of people, kind of all the regular NPCs is what causes it. It's like a hidden ending.
Oh, really?
In the game? Yeah, nice. I was reading about it. It's pretty cool. It kind of goes with the conceit of the game, which is that it's kind of a film. Whenever a cutscene happens, this like film shows up on the top and bottom of the screen.
Right.
And you're kind of playing like a parody of one of these movies.
Yeah, absolutely. There's even, you know, the saloon with the dancing girls and prostitutes.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah. So let's talk about real quick. So we know you do those quests. You do those to get weapons and hats, which is your health system.
Mm-hmm.
When you get shot, if you have a hat on, your hat gets shot off instead of you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have three of those and you can get new hats from buying them from haberdashers. There are hats that have certain special properties. You can buy guns that have certain things.
Right.
But the kind of the main kind of meat of this mechanically is this combat system.
Right.
Which is really simple, but I found really pretty satisfying.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah, it's really good. Like, you can only shoot horizontally.
Right.
Everything can only hurt you on a horizontal plane, and you have to draw and cock your gun before you can use it.
Correct.
And then as well, manage your reloads while still dodging bullets and kind of spotting when someone is lining up a shot so you can mm-hmm. dodge them.
Yeah, and you can kind of run to get out of a, out of a spot, but that undraws you, so you have to draw your gun again. So you're back to two steps before you get a fire shot, as opposed mm-hmm. to the one shot you'd be otherwise.
Yeah. And sometimes your enemies will have hats. They almost always outnumber you. One really awesome touch is that if you kill enough bandits, they start avoiding you.
Oh, nice.
Did you get to that point? Like, did people start saying, oh, it's you, and like, we don't want no trouble?
No, I never got to that point. But in that vein, I did manage to, just by accident, kind of wipe out a group of bandits that would have been in the way for another quest.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it took me to that scene where you're on a horse, you know how that sometimes you get the gunfights that are on horseback. Mm-hmm. And it just ended and it was like, oh, I guess there's nobody in the way anymore. So they tied up all their loose ends for everything. So like you said, you can kill all the story people, but there's still kind of something to do in the game. You don't cut yourself out of anything other than what they would have been giving you.
Yeah, just that content. There's still a lot to do, and it's fairly big too. Like, it's a kind of a big map to explore while still being a game that I explored every screen in, like I said, about 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So, the other thing to talk about with it is how, two things, one, how pretty it is.
Yeah.
Because it has a really, really awesome color palette, that it uses. Like, it's old PC style graphics. You know, like tall King's Quest looking people.
Right. Very, very low pixel count.
But very pretty, like very nice color choices, huge watts, you know, like the whole thing just looks very sun drenched.
Yeah.
Everywhere there. Like, it expresses that really well. And it's very funny.
It is. It's quite funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Just this, the idea that, like, so you can, everyone shoots each other all the time in the Old West. So you can, you know, you can pull your gun in the middle of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
The default option for most conversations is you're the guy who did it.
Right. Accusing someone.
Yeah.
So if you're just clicking through, you're going to do that.
Like, and it kind of characterizes the main character, who, like, you have control over them, but kind of is this, like, pretty charming maniac.
Right. And one track mind. Yeah, like a real idiot. Line.
Yeah. You know, like, you're a real dipshit in this game.
Yeah.
Like, and I really like that. You know, and so, like, but again, it's I can't really be overstated how, like, slight it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see it being, so the bad guy is randomized every time, but the side quests aren't.
Right.
You know, I thought at first, like, the side quests would be, but they're not. So it's like, you play this once, like, you can play it multiple times if you like, but it really is like a game that you get done in about 2.5 hours, 3 hours. You can play it some more times to get every ending, but it's very slight.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Like, I like the idea of getting, like, a little tiny bit of open world, you know, bigness in a couple hours.
Right. And that would be the one draw to playing again. Like, you know, the side quests that you've done are already there, but because you also, it's easy to avoid an entire area and not do anything there. Cause they're all kind of, everything's a side quest aside from a couple things. Like, the big trail line ones are the only ones that'll lead you to kind of a full clue rundown. Mm-hmm. And that'll, you know, fill up your clue board for the guy who lit your house on fire, and that'll get the ending exposed.
Yeah.
But,
and the fun part about that is you just know how that person looks, and you kind of walk around looking for somebody who matches that. Like, I said clue earlier, but I meant guess who.
Yeah, guess who. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
You're looking for somebody who matches that, and then you can just walk up and accuse them, and, like, people will deny it if they're not the right person, and then the right person starts the ending sequence, which we'll talk about in the next thing. And you can technically get that as long as you have half the clues.
Oh, cool.
Is when he spawns in.
Very nice.
So you don't have to do, you know, if you're just going for other endings, you can just do the important side quests that you want to see the new endings for, and then you'll rush to the actual ending.
Yeah, go search for your guy. Because you'll get a clue after every little quest, so.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, very cool. Like, I like it a lot. It's very short, and it's, you know, it's $15, which is not very much money, but is more than you will pay for most, like, 2 to 3 hour games.
Right.
But I had a lot of fun with it.
It also has gone on 50% sale before, so.
Oh, yeah.
$7.50 is not, you know, it's a movie.
$7.50 is perfect.
Yeah.
For this. Like, I had a lot of fun playing it. I thought it was a really charming, really cool game.
Yeah, it's just charming as hell. And I like the arcadey shooting mechanics. They're just engaging and fun, so.
It's also, it has co-op, which, like, I didn't do, but that sounds really cool.
I think it is, from what I understand, and I was reading about that before, it's literally, like, it plays exactly the same. They don't change anything. Just there's two of you trying to shoot everybody.
That's really great.
So.
And I'm sure you can shoot each other.
Oh, I hope so. Because
that's a big tactic, like,
when you
fight something, when you fight something you shouldn't be fighting, like, getting them to shoot each other is a tactic that's kind of necessary.
You can kind of just run around like a chicken shut off with your head cut off and wait for there just to be a couple guys left who aren't killing each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yeah. So we're going to go to some admin stuff, and then we'll do a spoiler section where we'll talk about that ending sequence with the guy who actually took your family down. So... Gary, what's the best way for someone to support us?
The best way to support us is to go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. We are a scant $250 away from the X-Men animated series show that me and Jeremy are going to do.
Yes.
So that's within striking distance. If you support us, not only do you feel good about doing it, hopefully, if you feel bad about it, don't do it.
Don't do anything that makes you feel bad.
Yeah. But you get a lot of cool stuff, extra bonus shows and access to our Slack channel. Little physical rewards, postcards, things like that. If you go to that Patreon page, you can read all about that.
Yep. And if you have any games you'd like us to check out, you can find us at facebook.com/checkitoutcomrade or Twitter @comradepodcast. And we also have the contact form on duckfeed.tv/contact that you can submit any requests you have there. Most of the time I just add them to a big list, and we reference that every once in a while when we're trying to find stuff for future episodes that we don't already have games we want to play for.
Yeah, and it's recommended to do so. I would never have heard of this without that, because the one thing about Adult Swim games is that like they are smaller in marketing as well.
Yes.
It's not just smaller in scope. It's also, you know, I don't hear about them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really cool to have something like this that I would never have seen. Absolutely. Otherwise.
So we'll do a little spoiler section here, and you'll hear a little ditty, and we'll come back and we'll talk about the ending to Westerado Double Barreled.
All right.
Okay. So are there, like, did you find out, are there multiple endings?
Yes. The ending that there was on Steam, on the Steam page, somebody was putting together an ending guide and it looked incomplete.
Okay.
One of the things that happens with these, you know, smaller games is that there's not as much like GameFAQ style material
right
out there for it, which is kind of makes it kind of difficult. But I know at the very least, there is an ending. There's like a regular good ending, a regular bad ending. I think the first ending you get is always the same. If you just start killing people indiscriminately and survive long enough, the director of the movie that you're in comes out.
Wow, that's
and
neat.
Says you have to stop killing extras. And then if you keep doing it, he starts sending it. It starts like a horde mode, like extras keep coming at you from outside the screen. You have to survive that for a long time to get the ending.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's super cool. Like, it's really, really charming.
The main ending, let's go into the story. So I assume we probably both got the same ending then, if the first one's kind of always the same.
I believe it's the same, yeah.
Okay.
I could be proved wrong, like, just now when we talk about it, but I believe
So what happens essentially is when you spot and call out, or by any other means, get the bad guy who burned down your family's house and farm, you get him till he'll run out of whatever town you find him in, and that'll start a horse chase sequence.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also the checkpoint for when you inevitably die in the start of this. So
yes, when you die in this game, you can continue as many times as you want unless you set up Iron Man mode, but you lose half your money, and there's a bank system similar to roguelikes in the game.
So the initial shootout has him kind of leading you. Actually, I think there's like a little cave section that you have to go through first too, right? So there's these he's like leading you through these caves, and at one point it splits off into three different cave systems, and you have to recognize which one he was and remember from your menu and follow that one into the right hole. Otherwise you have to fight two extra rooms full of gunslingers who will inevitably steal some of your hats, but you might get some back.
Yeah. You can shoot off people's hats to get them to refill your health. If you choose the correct one, you go into and you fight a one-on-one with him where he continuously, every time you hit him, you knock off his hat. But he goes to the bottom of the screen and puts on a new hat and changes guns. So it's kind of testing how well you know the different guns in the game.
Right.
And this was a pretty cool little boss fight. The fact that you always got a health back after you hit him made it pretty easy. Like the lead up to this was harder. I died several times in the gunfights leading up to it.
Yeah, in the horse one and in the cave systems and stuff. Like I died a couple times.
What weapon did you end up rolling with?
I liked the rifle. I liked shooting through and hitting multiple people. Mm.
I almost always did double pistol.
Oh, nice.
Which I liked a lot, because if you press down or up, you shoot a pistol in both directions.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, which is super cool.
That's super handy.
Yeah.
The other thing the rifle does, though, that was really nice, is it actually zooms out a little bit when you pull it out.
Oh, cool.
So you get a bigger like size of the screen, and you can see positionally where more enemies are at.
Mm. Yeah. And my ending, as far as once I actually killed him, was just kind of like a cinematic, like rides off into the sunset kind of thing.
So I think you also have the choice of not killing him, which is what I did. I think you might get a different unlock at the end, depending on which one you choose.
I unlocked the brother.
Okay, so then maybe not.
Yeah, I think the brother is always unlocked just for beating the game once.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't really mention that in the main episode, and probably could have. There are other characters you can unlock that change your verbs.
Right.
It's mostly only just their starting stuff.
Yeah, for future playthroughs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest difference is the brother, because he cannot wear hats.
Oh, shit.
So he dies in one hit throughout the whole game.
He's the hard mode character.
Yep.
Cool.
So the ending, there wasn't much to it. I could go back through and kind of play it again, and maybe I'll get a wild hair, but I also might just watch the endings on YouTube.
I think I might do that too. I'd like to see how the other characters play out and maybe some of the secrets, because it definitely does
There are secrets.
I know that there's like a coin that I found, and it was like one of 20 or some shit.
I collected two. There are like two underground altars that had gigantic animals, like animal stone animals that were when you like it was a giant fox, and when you clicked on it, it said like clever as a fox, one of eight.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I got. I thought it was like a coin, like on an altar in front of some statues.
That could be. Yeah. You could have been. Yeah, that's the same thing. There are other secrets, I think, too. The developers, you can tell from watching it, like they're really big Doctor Who people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
there's like weeping angels everywhere. Mm-hmm. There's like a timey-wimey discussion. Like, it's the only pop culture thing that shows up in there. But it makes me wonder if there's anything that ever makes those angels do anything. If because that would be kind of a cool mechanic. Like, there might be more secrets to this than I know.
Right.
It just it's kind of hard to see even what's out there without, you know, a lot of guides.
Right.
Out and about.
Yeah, it's just not as well known. Like, yeah, it's not very documented. Not very documented, not very huge. Like, let's see, how many reviews has it even had? It has 487, which is not bad, but that's not very big for
you know,
a game that has this much kind of quality and hidden stuff to it.
Yeah, I feel like this game, you know, deserves a wider audience, and people should definitely check it out on sale.
Absolutely.
So, very cool.
All right, well, that's it for us, guys. We'll see you next time, and thank you for listening.
Take care.